spend time together in God's Word, I'd like to invite you to once again keep your worship bulletin handy. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion of your worship bulletin. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. If you're in need of something to write with, I encourage you to raise your hand, and one of our ushers would be glad to get something to you, with the exception that you won't play tic-tac-toe, of course. So we'll keep you engaged. Also, there on the back of your worship bulletin, you'll find some take-home reflections. I trust the Lord will lay something on your heart today that he wants you to take home and apply to your relationships, your place of work, school, and those areas that you go as a Christ follower this week. So my prayer is that these will bless your devotional time this week and your personal relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This morning, as we begin our message and our sermon, I'd like to invite you at this time to turn your attention to the screen for today's sermon video. Let's take a look.
There's a popular magazine for hikers called Trail Magazine. In their February 2004 issue, they published directions on how to get down from Britain's highest peak. Calculating. Returning from 4,409 feet requires explicit and detailed directions, especially in bad weather. But if you were to actually follow the directions, they would take you right off the edge of a cliff and into a 1,000-foot drop.
At next intersection, turn right.
Imagine traveling along, feeling secure and confident, not knowing that the directions in your hand, if actually followed, would lead to your destruction. The truth is, on this trail called life, all of us are following someone's directions. None of us are really blazing our own trail. We all follow a path that has been laid out for us by someone claiming to know the way. The question is, whose directions are you following? What path are you on?
Whose directions are you following? This week, as with other weeks, I had the opportunity to have chapel with our kiddos from our daycare right in this area. And if you've ever been here on a Wednesday between 10 and 10:30, you can know how animated, we'll say, this time can really be. And one of the things we discussed this week, interestingly enough, was what was related to our message today. It was a question of whose directions are you following? We took the opportunity to discuss travels with family and with friends and with the daycare from point A to point B. And I asked the question, how do you get from where you're going to where you want to be? And you can imagine the number of answers I got. You ask a question, you get an answer. This morning I'd like to ask you too, children of God, whose directions are you following? The same question is posed in a lot of different ways to a young man recorded for us in Matthew chapter 19, and we heard about this moments ago. Matthew 19, verses 16 to 26. There's a young man that Matthew records for us, and he's conflicted. And the thing is, he doesn't know how conflicted inside he really is. To him, he has a lot of things going on, and he looks really good on the outside, but inside is a war zone. And maybe you've had moments in your life where it's been like that too. The outside looks really good, but inside it is a storm. It's a tempest. And that's what's going on with this young man, Matthew chapter 19. We hear this in verse 16, this young man. So just then, a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life?" It's like this. If I could give you an image to maybe hold in your mind, hopefully after today's service is over, it might be this. In other words, this man comes to Jesus and he's looking for a little perspective. Don't give me anything over here. Don't give me anything over here. Don't give me anything up there or there. But like right here. Right here. Laser sight, focused. What is it? Maybe you've had a lot of times in your life where it's been like that too. Boy, there's so much going on, so much stress. Things are swirling around. I just need focus right here, just for a minute. You ever been there? This man comes to Jesus, and he's got a fair question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 17, Jesus responds, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. Which ones? He required. You can see he's engaged, right? Back and forth with Jesus. Jesus replied, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. And his response is just this. All these I have kept. What do I still lack? This morning in our adult Bible class, we unpacked this a little bit further. You ever had a situation in life where someone asked you a question and you gave an answer and the response was, well, that's not good enough. I was looking for more. You ever had that conversation with your kids where a question is asked and you give an answer and it's like, well, that is just not good enough. Or maybe to take that outside the home for a second, maybe there's other places in life where that's happened too. Maybe for you it's been at work or school where somebody asked a question and an answer was given and the response was just this. Well, that's not really good enough. Tell me more. This young man doesn't seem to be happy with the response Jesus is giving him. He came to Jesus for a reason, and our motivations, well, we're not quite sure why he came. We know in the Gospels that oftentimes when somebody comes up to Jesus and says, teacher, well, they got an agenda in their back pocket. So we're not sure why he's coming to Jesus, but once again, they're engaged in this back and forth. And Jesus' answer to him, well, it's just not good enough. So he says, well, I've done that. I got that taken care of. That's covered. What else? What else you got, Jesus? So Jesus throws out these commandments to him. 5, 6, 7, and 8. And 4, respectively. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Don't gossip. Don't backbite. Don't lie about your neighbor. Remember mom and dad. Show them a little TLC and respect. Love your neighbor as yourself. So this guy, he's living right here. Nothing over here, nothing over here, nothing up here, nothing over here, but right here. In his mind, he's got it covered. He's got it made, but there's something he's missing, and Jesus is going to engage him where he needs to be engaged. And this morning, our Lord comes to us and engages us where we need to be engaged. Where is that for you? We continue. Jesus responded in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and do what? See, that might sound like last week's message, which was the Lord has an anyone policy. Jesus extends his call to discipleship to anyone. The rich and the poor, the sick, the healthy, and the list goes on. And it's not like Jesus heard this guy's response and says, get out of here. I'm going to stick with these fishermen, this political guy over here. I'm not sure what he's going to do, but I'm going to hang with him for a while. You get out of here. What does Jesus invite him to do? To be a follower, not a fan, but a follower who's concerned with what Jesus says needs to go right here for our lives. And then we come to verse 22, don't we? When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. You see, for this man, he had the land. He had a lot of it. He had the money. He had a lot of it. And he had the pride, and he had a lot of it. And to this word of pride, we might attach the following, piety. He had this religious sense about himself, like, if there is a commandment, he's got it. It's in the bank. If there is a commandment to be done, he covered it. He needs nothing else. And it kind of begs the question, why is he engaging Jesus in the first place? If he feels like he has everything together, why is he engaging Jesus? Is Jesus suddenly like mirror, mirror on the wall? Jesus, Jesus, tell me, who's the greatest of all? Bless you. You see, in this place, it's not supposed to be land or money or pride. There's only one that's supposed to be there, and it's the Lord. Jesus says, I don't want you looking over here. I don't want you being distracted by this over here or this over here or this down here. I need you right here. Eyes, ears, heart, right here. I need you to focus on me. But instead, for this man, we see this drops out of the picture, and instead we see something else come up on the scene for this man. And we might call this idols or false gods, lowercase g, which aren't gods at all. But this man, once again, his whole life is wrapped up in the land, the money, and the personal piety. As we discussed in our adult Bible class this morning, it's not like he had these things. Rather, these things had him. Exodus chapter 20, God shares this with his people from his heart to theirs. We know this as the first commandment. Chapter 20, verse 3 of Exodus, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them." Martin Luther picks this up for us a little bit more in his catechism, his large catechism, when he shares this with us. An explanation of the first commandment, he says this, "A god is the term for that to which we are to look for all good, in which we are to find refuge in all need. Therefore, to have a god is nothing else than to trust and believe in that one with your whole heart." For the man, he's living right here, and his focus is right here. But for him, the Lord is not there. For him, something else is there. Something else gets his attention. Something else gets his time. Something else gets priority over Jesus. And what is it? The land, the pride, and the money. Not Jesus. It's pretty easy to see that other things had this man's heart. What's had yours recently? I think sometimes we think, okay, Pastor Seth, an image that wasn't that golden cow thing back in the Old Testament. Yeah, I don't have a cow in my room. There's some other stuff living underneath my bed, but that's a different topic. It's true. Maybe we don't have little statues that we bow down to and pray to, but maybe, just maybe, there are other things that get our trust and our faith and our hope above the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Maybe one or more of these things resonate with you this morning. What's been getting your time, your talents, your treasures, your trust over and above Jesus? In other words, just to use that image once again, what's in this focus zone for you? What's the one thing that informs your life and gives direction to you? Whose directions are you following? Might seem that Jesus was maybe being a little harsh with this guy, but Jesus, in the strength of his relationship with this man, was trying to take down the things that don't need to be here, so the things that need to be there, first and foremost, relationship with him, is top priority. We might look at it like this. In grace, Jesus went to battle against the idols that were controlling the man's life, that he might be free to them and free to follow Jesus. Friends, we know the same for you and me this morning. Jesus Christ in grace goes to battle against the idols in our lives, the things that compete for our faith, our trust, our hope, our love. And it's against these things that Jesus battles. And we see this in a big way in the cross, where Jesus faces death and sin for you and for me, for life, for forgiveness, and for our hope. Hebrews 4 puts it like this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin." Who is it? Jesus. Galatians 4 picks it up for us as well. Paul writes this, "But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship." Jesus Christ is very interested in what is here for you and for me today, just as he was for this young man. So maybe, just maybe, as we think about this for our own lives today, maybe, just maybe, there's some other things that need to drop out of focus. So once again, God and his love and his grace and his relationship with you and me comes more clear into focus. Where is this for you today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your relentless pursuit of us and your desire to have a life-changing, life-saving relationship with each one of us here today. We know that it was out of love that Jesus challenged this rich young man. It wasn't so much that he had land, he had money, but that these things were controlling his life to the point where he was starting to lose sight of you. Father, we pray today that you would help us in the strength of our relationship with you to identify those areas of our lives where we're giving our hope, our time, our trust, our faith in other things or maybe even other people. And we pray, Lord, that you would take those idols out of our lives and out of our focus zone so that you can be there and that you can stay there. Father, we pray, continue to walk with us as your followers, as your disciples. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.